first reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Our holy gospel this day of Pentecost comes from the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter. Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. What is the Holy Spirit revealing to us? In the Gospel of John, we read once again Jesus' words to his disciples as he prepares to face his trials and his eventual death and resurrection. And in the midst of it, we have a request from Philip. Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus calls him out on it. Because for Jesus, who he is and what he does should reveal to Philip and the other disciples exactly who the Father is. Our experience of Christ reveals the very nature of the Father. And yet, the disciples don't get it. They can't even fully grasp the implications of what Christ is doing. Even as Christ is revealing much to them, there are still elements of their experiences that they do not fully understand through revelation yet. It isn't until Christ comes to them through resurrection, that the disciples truly see the whole picture of who Christ is. And in that moment, it is the promised advocate, the Holy Spirit, that opens their hearts and their minds to new possibilities of who Christ is and who God revealed through Christ is as well. And we find that God is still revealing new things through our scripture readings today. As we encounter the disciples turned apostles in the days that lead up to that follow Christ's ascension in the book of Acts, we find that they are still trying to figure out what to do with what God has done through Jesus Christ. They have seen the risen Lord. And yet, now once again, it seems that they are alone. But God is not done doing new things. God is not done creating the church that Jesus Christ started through his death and resurrection. There is work to be done, good news to be proclaimed. And to do that, God's Holy Spirit must work. We hear the story of the sound of a violent rushing wind and the entrance of the Holy Spirit onto the scene. And let's be honest, this isn't a calm, neat type of scene. The book of Acts tells us all of the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. And at this point, there is no crowd to preach to. There are no people present listening beside these apostles. It isn't until these things start happening that the crowds begin to show up. And it just so happens that into this chaos, suddenly a little bit of order sneaks in. A little bit of clarity develops. Because despite the different languages of the hearers, suddenly they all get it. There is a common thread in the hearing, the glory of Jesus Christ and thanksgiving to God the Father who raised him from the dead and granted to these unworthy disciples the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a chaotic scene, and at first I wonder if the crowds that hear this cacophony of sound can truly begin to parse out the language that is native to them. Why would it be that the Holy Spirit would present itself as so much noise? Why would it be that the Holy Spirit affects the speakers instead of the listeners? Now, wouldn't it make more sense if the Holy Spirit translated in the minds and the hearts of the hearers instead of in the tongues of the speakers? Wouldn't there then be some semblance of order if all the apostles were speaking a variety of Aramaic or Greek and these believers from other nations simply heard it in their own tongues? But that's the funny thing about building a church. It's not a calm process. It's chaotic. There will be varieties of perspectives. There will be different voices. Uniformity of language is not possible when trying to draw in the varied people that God calls through the Holy Spirit. The words used aren't the same. The methods used are not all identical. But there is still a oneness of purpose. There is a oneness of hope among the believers who share the good news and invite others to join in the same good news. Christ is alive. God has done amazing things through him and has and will continue to do amazing things through his followers. And because God does marvelous things through those who believe in God, the Holy Spirit continues to be at work. Indeed, I believe with all my being that the Holy Spirit is at work here in this place. The Holy Spirit is bringing into our world just a little bit of holy chaos. But that raises the question, if we are all children of God, disciples now sent out to serve, given the gift of the Holy Spirit through our baptism, where are our voices? What do they say? Now, it's true that most of us in this room aren't fluid in multiple languages. I mean, I do know how to order beer in about 3 or 4 languages, but I don't think that counts. We haven't randomly broken out into praising God in Swahili or Danish or Greek, maybe Norwegian, but we all have a voice. God has given us a voice to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. God has given us a voice with which we can share what God is doing among God's people here at Messiah and out in the rest of the world. But I guess that raises one more question for us. Do we trust the voice that God gives us? Do we trust the voice that God individually through the Spirit gives us so that we might go out into the world and share what God has done and is continuing to do? And do we then trust our common voice here at Messiah, the voice that we speak together, yet still, as I said, not uniformly, just together? For we are all blessed here at Messiah. We are blessed with many gifts, gifts of compassion, friendship, mutual faithfulness, hospitality, generosity, and each piece of the tapestry of faithfulness that we present to the world matters. Our voices, both individual and community-wide, are not just spoken word, but also the voice of action. When we act out in compassion and for justice, we are using the voice that God gives us. When we speak words of comfort and caring to our brothers and sisters who are heavy of heart and broken in spirit, we are using the voice that God gives us as well. But that same voice can be spoken just as clearly, I think, in the silence of accompaniment. We all do have a voice, each of us. We all have gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. Now, sometimes our voices don't all line up perfectly. We know that is true, but we also know that that is okay. Because the heart of our voice, much like the heart of those first apostles, is one of praise and joy. And praise and joy is a language that needs no words. It doesn't need great speeches or well-crafted arguments. Praise and joy, the language of our hearts, only needs a little bit of willingness to trust in the Spirit to give us the language to speak, whether in word or in deed. And as the Holy Spirit continues to guide, continues to carve a path through the chaos of our world, the church indeed changes, and the church is also rebuilt. For where the Holy Spirit is at work, I truly confess to you today, God's church is made new again. Amen.